It's Aiden in the Arvo, 22 past three, and get some fake round of applause going. Brad Huddleston joins me in the studio. Now, Brad, why don't you introduce yourself as far as your title, because you're a very smart man.
Thank you very much. I'm an actor, and I play a smart person on TV. Now, I'm a minister, actually, and have been, but I also graduated with a four-year degree in computer science, so many years ago, and I've taught IT at a university. Didn't realize just how dangerous these screens are, and have a degree in nerddom. As time went on, I started to be affected quite negatively by it, as a lot of people in the IT industry and others have been, and I started looking into it. And what really tipped the scales on what I do now, so technically I'm an expert in digital addiction in the brain. Our youth group, we attend a very good church, or I wouldn't go there, but these children were doing very evil things at night, under the cover of darkness, back when their parents didn't know what the internet was, but the kids did.
Yep.
And we caught them on MySpace, doing very foul things and posting things that were very, we say words like inappropriate. It was just plain sinful. And these are good families. And so I started looking into the other, I was on television at that time. I had a television show, and I went to the network and I said, hey, there's this new thing called social media. And we have a problem within the body of Christ. A lot of church kids are really being affected by this. So they signed off on a special, and I produced a television special on it. And the gospel is what I've always preached, and it's never changed, but the subject and the door opener became that. And so eventually neuroscience started looking into this, and I picked it up there. And so fast forward to now, I've written three books on the subject of digital addiction, and the University of South Africa, their Bureau of Market Research and Neuroscience Division, invited me to collaborate with them. The smart people are the ones who do all the work in the lab.
Sure.
I just bring the research.
Just riding some coattails there.
That's right. And then here in Australia, I'm very privileged to travel all over the country and speak at quite a number of venues, churches, about every Sunday morning, but then conferences in a lot of schools. And I work with Queensland Police. So we go in and we do a lot of surveys with thousands of students, and then we crunch those numbers to see what they're up to. So we learn a lot that way. Because they'll tell you. The kids will tell you.
Yeah.
And then from that, I'll propose research projects to see, you know, why self-harm is going up. Or it depends on what we discover.
We've had you on a couple of times now. This is your third time here on the show. And over the years, you know, different things have popped up. Literally only, I've been doing this show for 5 years, but so much has changed in that 5 years.
Right.
You know, last time you were here, we probably were just discussing AI for the first time. And,
and
you know, before that, it probably was more a focus on social media and things like that. So what kind of trends are you seeing and changes that us as parents need to be aware of for our kids? Because as you said before, often the parents aren't aware.
Mm-hmm.
Kids are early adapters. They get to these things before we're even, you know, clued onto it.
Right. Well, around the world, the school systems, as you can imagine, they're pushing AI in the education sector, and you can understand why.
Makes life easier.
Oh, well, it's not, it's that. Of course, yes, it does. But the things you can do, like with Khan Academy, anybody who's in education knows Khan Academy. They've introduced KhanMigo, which is their AI version. And so the children, instead of ChatGPT, which I think everybody's probably been playing with and having conversations with, the children do that on an academic level with KhanMigo's version of that. But there are problems with ChatGPT. One of the examples that I give when I'm speaking to school boards around, you know, my country or my state, really a lot lately, but I just went to ChatGPT and I typed in a prompt that said, I'm a fifth grader. I need a 500-word essay on the eruption of Mount Vesuvius. 1 second, this thing comes out on fifth grade level. I copied and pasted it in Word. Entered the exact same prompt. Out comes another one written totally differently. And there are no algorithms now that can detect that. And so kids, while the education system is pushing it, the kids are cheating all over the world.
Well, even back in the day, so I grew up in the early 2000s, and it was when Wikipedia was coming very popular.
Right.
And I remember using Wikipedia on one of my projects and just like copied and pasted, and I got caught real quick. I'm not sure if my parents are even aware that that happened.
Are they listening?
But yeah, like that was my generation.
Right.
But now there's no way for them to even fact check that or as far as like verify that it's not that child's work.
Right. And that's the tip of the iceberg, Aiden. When you look at, you know, Jeffrey Hinton, the godfather of AI. And if you remember, Elon Musk and a whole bunch of these guys tried to put a, you know, 6-month moratorium on the development. There's reasons for that, and they're legitimate reasons. So Jeffrey Hinton resigned because it's out of control in the background. There are things that they know that we don't. There are things that we do know, things that I've looked into, the hallucinations. That's an actual industry term where the computers are fooling a lot of people. I'll just give you one brief example since there's probably parents concerned. I went and had AI write an article on digital addiction. I write about this all the time. It wrote an article that's far surpassed anything I could ever hope to write. And it had had sources, had everything. Every single one of them were fake.
Right.
And so with these neural networks that have come out and large language models, they have entrained these on every single bit of information that's ever been published on the internet. Videos, it can mimic humans, it can exaggerate, it can lie. And so it's doing that, and they don't understand why, and it is scaring them. And so we've got the governments pushing it into the schools really hard, but there are so many flaws. And what concerns me are the people who are in charge went to the U.S. government in my country, Elon Musk and a whole bunch of these guys, begging to be regulated. And I don't know about you, but the U.S. government's the last place I would go for help.
Words, not mine.
Well, no, it's a mess. My country's in a mess, and I think the whole world knows it. But they had no other choice, and I don't blame them. But, you know, Sam Altman from OpenAI, all this sort of stuff. So there's two sides of the coin. I happen to deal, as you know, with a lot of the dark side, and my motive, I get a lot of pushback too. I'm not necessarily I think people like me generally, but the message is not always well received.
Mm.
But I care about these kids like you do. You have kids. You and I've talked about your kids.
Mm.
And I have a call on my life from God to these children, and I see the inherent dangers, and every parent thinks their child is the exception, and I get that, and I understand. But they're not the exception, and so we power on.
Well, you've mentioned this before, but I'd love you to remind everyone. You've talked about the effects that screens have on kids' brains, particularly under the age of 12.
Mm-hmm.
That's right, isn't it? Like, over the age of 12, there's a little bit more
resilience,
and then the brain's a bit more developed. But under that 12-year-old threshold, it becomes quite affecting the screens on their lives and things.
Right. Where that comes from, the actual age, when people ask me at what age should I start giving smartphones to my children, I say 42, and then everybody laughs. And the actual age is 26. And the reason it's 26 is because this part of the brain right behind our foreheads, it's called the prefrontal cortex. When I'm speaking to the kids in the lower primary grades, I liken our brains to a car. And I tell them, you know, if mom or dad is late taking you to school, which pedal do they push? I say the gas pedal.
Yeah.
And what liquid goes into the engine? Petrol, you know. And if they're hillbilly kids, they'll say diesel. So anyway, I say if mom or dad needs to stop suddenly, which pedal do they push? The brake pedal. I say, boys and girls, here's the problem at your age. You do not have any brakes, but you do have a gas pedal. So when you're on TikTok, you're playing video games, you're pushing all this petrol, it's actually dopamine, but all this liquids, and I have these animations I've created to, you know, illustrate this. You're revved up and TikTok is fun and all these things that you're doing, but the problem is you do not have any brakes, and so you can't stop. And that's what addiction is. You're all revved up, but you can't stop. And that's how I describe it. And we won't have that fully developed until you're 25 at least.
And that 25 age, that's for both men and women.
Yes.
Yeah.
But where the 12 comes from, in Silicon Valley, where a lot of this is developed, a lot of those tech executives from Microsoft, from eBay, Yahoo, Google, Hewlett-Packard, they send their kids to a group of schools called Steiner. But that's irrelevant. They're analog schools.
Yeah.
They have no tech. And they don't introduce it to them until they're between 12 and 14. And then it's only the stuff that'll get you a job.
That's necessary.
So when I'm talking about all this, at what age can you have it? I'll give this illustration. I'll have this screen, and I'll have all the Fortnite. I'll have you know, Snapchat, TikTok, all this stuff on the left side of the screen. On the right side of the screen, I'll have Word, I'll have Excel, PowerPoint, and I'll say, you know, many people on the left side of the screen ask me for help and for prayer, but no one's ever said, Brett, I'm so addicted to Microsoft Word. Would you please pray for me?
I can't get enough of these Excel spreadsheets.
You know, I used to use that as the joke until I've had three accountants come to me for help.
Oh, really?
So I had to switch that over to Word. But generally speaking, you and I would use those things like that to no effect. We get in, we get out. But
yeah,
they're very helpful.
I don't crave it, no.
That's right. And most people are like that, including kids. It's very helpful for school. So that's the 12 years of age. If you were to limit and use that as your definition of limit, those things where they get in, get out, you're not going to hurt them. And that's what the Steiner schools and the tech executives, they allow them to do that for about 45 minutes a day on the things that they're not going to get addicted to.
Why 45 minutes? Is that
well, because
amount of time special in some way?
The science is very clear. We get addicted regardless of content. So your Bible app is addictive. Your Bible podcasts, especially if they're videos, they're just as addictive as Fortnite. And so the content, the science is very clear. It's the medium, and it's the interactivity with the medium, and the content does have an effect, but all content will get you addicted severely. So that's where that comes from.
Interesting. Look, we got to go to a song, but I want you to hang around. And if anyone's got any questions, I'm happy to take some calls on 1-300-77-1079. If you're a parent that's concerned, want to know some solutions, what we can do about this, we're going to get into that next here on Aiden and the Arvo.